And hello, everyone, and welcome to Extra Innings on Podcast here, our inaugural show here on April 17th, Wednesday here. I am Nick Petrone alongside Sean Barletta, and we thank you for joining us here on our first ever podcast, normally airing on 1490 WAZL out of Hazleton, Pennsylvania. And this is something new we're going to be doing, hopefully on a couple times a week, and as well as our Monday and Friday shows. We'll be getting them back up and running in the near future. And let's bring in Sean Barletta now. Sean, how we doing? Welcome back to the show.
Doing pretty good, Nick. I got to tell you, this is exciting. We are literally, in every sense of the word, we are learning what we're doing and how to do this as we go. So it's fun, and we could play around with the podcast stuff. I'm pretty excited about the podcast. But at the end of the day, everything's the same. We got lots to talk about, and we have a new format to talk about it within.
Absolutely, and we're going to be posting every podcast that we have on iTunes as well as our Facebook page at WAZL Extra Innings. So, check us out there, send us questions and comments throughout the week, and also on our Twitter page at WAZL Sports Radio. We want to hear from you, so send us your questions and comments. Obviously, we can't really do any questions or comments during the show like we do in our live Monday and Friday editions on WAZL 1490, but we're gonna be interacting as much as we could, and we're ready to take the next step here. So with that being said, today is Wednesday, April 17th. We're sitting right around 8:30 p.m. right now. So let's talk some sports, Sean. We're a couple weeks into the baseball season here. We're finally starting to see what teams are really stepping up. And or aren't stepping up in that matter. Final games of the NBA season really getting underway with some big games tonight between for the Lakers and the Jazz coming down to that 8 seed, also the 7 seed as well. So with that being said, let's dive right into some things here, starting with baseball. And we said coming into the season could be a lot of parity this year, and it's looking like that's going to hold up, because we have a lot of surprises right now throughout the league.
We do have a lot of surprises. It's obviously early. We have a long way to go still. Where we're at right now, we're sitting at around the 15-game mark or so. But I think it's a good enough sample size to take a look at who has been surprisingly good. Teams that we thought were going to be good that are doing just the opposite. While I do think it's far too early to jump to any conclusions on an individual player or a team, I don't think it's too early to start drawing pictures on how the seasons could look for a lot of teams, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and with that being said, Sean, let's talk about some teams here. I think a lot of surprises are in the American League. National League kind of, looking how we expected it to be for the most part, with the Braves cruising, Cardinals in first place. But looking at the American League here, who's the biggest team that surprised you in a good way or a bad way right now?
Well, we talked about this a little bit in our preview issue to the season, our preview show. Yet again, Nick, it amazes me that here we are a couple weeks into the season, Oakland sitting atop the American League West at 12-4. They're back in action tonight. But it's amazing to me, not how good this team is, but how little respect they get. Everywhere you look, nobody talks about the A's. And while it's hard to argue that they're the best team in baseball because they don't have the talent level of some teams, they have something about them that, once again, the Oakland A's are really, really good. A lot of teams are starting to find that out the hard way.
Yeah, and not only are they in first place in the division, they're 6-0 on the road. I know, we both understand that it's early. A lot could still happen. But yeah, that team has just really surprised a lot of people. And you look at that division, on the other end of it, you have the Angels, who are 4-10 right now, Sean. And, coming into this season, with Hamilton there now, obviously Pujols still there, Mike Trout. I mean, this team is expected to just cruise. And now, granted, there's still 148 games left in the season. A lot could still happen. This is, coming in today, they had the same record as the Astros. I mean, the Angels haven't looked good, and I think another team that surprised in a bad way is Tampa Bay. It was 4-9 right now, and I believe we both picked them to win the American League East.
We did. You mentioned the Angels, and I'm unbelievably intrigued with this team. I was going into the season. Things are kind of playing out in California the way that I thought that they might. There's tons and tons and tons of question marks with this team. If you look at some of the glaring ones from what I've been able to see so far this season, the first one, without question to me, is Josh Hamilton. He's barely able to stay afloat at 200. He's swinging and missing at a ridiculous rate. And those are the hardcore stats. The more alarming part to me is what I see when I watch Josh Hamilton. He had that series where they played the Rangers. It was an emotional series for him. But he just doesn't seem to be carrying himself in a way that is good for this team. You look at Albert Pujols. Again, he's inked into that enormous contract with many years to still go. He has some knee issues. He has some heel issues. He's limping around. These are real problems for this team. Eric Ibar has been hurt. Mike Trout's numbers are way down. Over the last few days, I've been reading a few stories in which some sources close to the Angels are saying, we don't want to accuse Mike Trout of not playing hard, but there's a definite gripe between Mike Trout and ownership with the Angels with the way that his contract is structured. Jared Weaver now, the team's going to have to survive about a month and a half without him. Nick, it's amazing how many issues there is right now with this team.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're an Angels fan, you could obviously say you'd rather the issues now than come, you know, July, August, September. But, yeah, I mean, these guys have not been playing good at all. Josh Hamilton, I believe, just hit his first home run the other day. He hasn't looked sharp, and he didn't really look sharp going towards the end of the season last year as well. But back to Pujols here with this enormous contract, it's something I want to bring up. I mean, you look at these big contracts, you know, with Pujols. Now, he didn't have a great year last year and off to a slow start again this year. The likes of him, Alex Rodriguez, with these huge contracts. I mean, do you see this declining over the next couple of years where some owners don't put that kind of deals out there? Because it's getting a little ridiculous with, you know, he signed a 10-year contract when he's 31, 32 years old. And he's still got 8 years left, 8.5 years left, and he's already shown signs of, you know, possibly going in the wrong direction.
I don't think there's any question. You make a great point. I personally was very surprised that at the end of the day, Josh Hamilton got the contract that he did. If you remember back, Nick, when Hamilton was on the free agent market, while lots of teams had interest in him, It was pretty reserved interest. I didn't hear any of the rumors that he was looking at contracts of 6, 7, and 8 years. The Angels all of a sudden just blurted out an absurd offer, and of course Hamilton would be foolish to not jump at that. But I really think that you hit the nail on the head. I do think that there's so many cautionary tales here with these long-term contracts. There's so much money involved, and even beyond that, and we could go on and on about the Alex Rodriguez contract, but it's even more than money. It's being locked into that guy. I'm not a GM, and you're not a GM. We oftentimes pretend that we are, but me personally, I really would have a very, very hard time justifying giving anybody in Major League Baseball an 8-year contract.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the maximum contract to put out there would be 5, in my opinion. And, you know, there's talks of, you know, Cano's going to be a free agent after the season. Is he going to get absurd numbers like that? And I don't know if the Yankees would even do something like that with the stuff that they've had, the issue with Rodriguez. But, yeah, it's definitely something to look at over the next couple of years when you have some of these bigger free agents stepping out there to see what really plays out with that. But, I mean, the Angels, yeah, they just don't – they're not sinking right now, and obviously there's a lot of time left, and the A's are playing out of their mind. And let's not forget Texas, Sean. I mean, this team, you know, 9-5 coming into today, still a very good baseball team, kind of under the radar now after coming into the season.
They are under the radar, and they they seem to like that role. When you look at this team, it's a little bit different than what we've seen from them in the past. They're getting production from new guys. One guy that I really liked going into the season, thought he was primed for a big bounce back year, and maybe a lot of this was wishful thinking because I have him on my fantasy team. But you know, Lance Berkman really seems like he has a second life right now in Texas. Whether or not he can hold up for what an entire season takes, that remains to be seen. And in all honesty, the odds are probably against him. He's been hurt quite often lately, but he's having an awesome year. They have some of the consistent guys. One of the more underrated players in the American League, in my opinion, is Ian Kinsler. Always seems to put up nice numbers. He's doing it again. He has some early pop, four home runs for Ian Kinsler so far this year. But the difference with this team, in my opinion, while I don't think that this is a flash in the pan that they're going to last, because I think Darvish is that good, and when they have additional guys step up, like Agondo appears to be doing,
right,
he's off to a really good start. That's the difference, Nick, between being a good team and being a really good team that can last the dog days of the summer.
Yeah, and I think this Texas team is going to last, to be honest with you. I think that, as you said early in the season, I think this is one of the most underrated divisions. You look at Seattle, team that always is probably going to hover around 500 most of the season. I know you're hoping for better than that, but it's a tough division. I think Seattle's the team on the rise. They just need to get some more offense. Obviously, they have Felix locked up for a long time there. Even Houston, I don't think they're as bad as they have been the past couple of years. I think they're going in the right direction, although you got to give it at least 4 or 5 more years for them. But, you know, Oakland right now cruising along. I want to move to the National League right now quickly. Atlanta, I mean, this team's on a tear right now. I picked them to go to the World Series, obviously. Plenty of time left to be played, but they're 12-2 right now, Sean, in an average, I guess you could say, National League East. Obviously, the Nationals are a very good team, but after that, I know the Mets are playing good right now. I don't think the Phillies are an above 500 team this year, and then you have the Marlins, who I don't even think they could play in Triple-A right now. Atlanta's just cruising along. I mean, do you see this team, you know, staying up top there the entire season?
This Atlanta team is for real, and to be fair, I mean, I thought going into the season that the Nationals were as good as anybody in baseball. I thought they were the best team in the National League. That could still be the case. But from what I have seen from Atlanta, it's really, really hard to not be impressed with what they have done so far. The record speaks for themselves, like you said. You mentioned the stat with the A's. This Atlanta team is undefeated on the road. As the A's were, they're both sitting at 6-0 currently on the road. Atlanta's very, very good. They have all the makings of a great team. They're going to score runs. They have good enough starting pitching, and they have a completely dominant back end of the bullpen. That's usually the recipe for success, for long-term sustained success.
Yeah, absolutely, especially the way Justin Upton's hitting right now. This team, and they finally lost today, Sean, but it was a 1-0 game to the Royals.
And in reality, Diamondback fans don't want to hear this, but this is, I mean, the Diamondbacks knew that Justin Upton was this good. I think when they had a drop in his production, they had some clubhouse issues, whether they want to admit that or not. Everybody and their mother seems to report the fact that they had clubhouse issues there. Justin Upton is this good of a player. The question that he has always had is, can he consistently do that? And I think he's in a comfortable place right now. I do think that the Washington Nationals are still going to be right there. I think this is going to be a race that we're going to see throughout the entire season. I also do think that the Mets are an improved team. I can't begin to tell you how impressed I've been with what I have seen from Matt Harvey so far this year. He's a guy that could be a fixture in New York for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's not a ton of pitchers you can say this about, but if you have the opportunity to watch Matt Harvey, watch him, because he really is that exciting. The bottom end of that division is just that. They're the bottom end, and they're pretty bad. The Phillies are even a little bit worse than I thought they would be. They need to continue to improve, and I think that they may the Marlins, the Astros came into the season as kind of the punching bag for jokes in the league. The Marlins are atrocious, and it's sad, Nick, to watch Giancarlo Stanton in that lineup, because I had heard somebody recently say, and I thought this was a great point, he's getting the Barry Bonds treatment. The year that Barry Bonds played out of his mind and hit like 730 home runs in a year, the pitchers would not face him. Now it's for a little bit different of a reason, but pitchers will not face Stanton this year, and I don't blame them. It's almost like,
no point.
Let anybody else beat me in this lineup.
Yeah, there's nobody else in that lineup. Like I said, you put this team in the International League, they might be 500 there. I mean, this team is bad. And coming off a new stadium last year, this is really surprising. After dumping the load after this past season, getting rid of Reyes and everybody, this team is just going nowhere fast, and they are, I think, the worst team in the league. The Phillies, I expected them to be a little better than last year, as you said. Right now, it's not showing. I think age is really catching up to this team. I just don't see the Howards and the Utleys being able to carry this team. Halliday's velocity is down, although he's looked a little better lately. Cole Hamels has not looked good early on in the season. I think the Phillies are going in the wrong direction. But with that being said, I still think they could compete in that division if they get the help that they from some of these lower-end guys. You're listening to Extra Innings here on our first podcast ever, normally on 1490 WAZL out of Hazleton, Pennsylvania. I am Nick Petrone alongside Sean Barletta. And we thank you for joining us tonight. This is our inaugural podcast. We're going to try and do this a couple times a week. You can also listen to our show every Monday and Friday on 1490 WAZL. That'll be coming back in the near future, kind of on a little layoff right there. But we'll be back there soon. And we just want to take this time to send out our thoughts and prayers to everybody in the city of Boston after the horrible tragedy on Monday at the Boston Marathon. And we just hope everything works out for the best that it possibly can at this point for everybody in Boston, and we send our thoughts and prayers to everyone there. So, Sean, getting back at things here, NBA is just about wrapping up here. A big game going on tonight for the Lakers. Well, let's talk about Kobe Bryant. Done for the season now with that torn Achilles. Lakers still have to get in the playoffs. They have to win tonight. And hope the Jazz, if they win, they're in. Or if the Jazz lose, then they get in. But the Lakers don't play until 10:30. Utah is currently playing right now. They lead Memphis right now. But if this Lakers team does get in, do you see them doing anything?
No. I don't see how they possibly could. I mean, I think that if you want, just for argument's sake, we could sit here and we could talk about the Lakers, what their playoff chances would look like with Kobe Bryant, and I still didn't like the way that they look. So when you take Kobe out of the mix, I can't see how it ends well. I've heard some people say, well, this is going to be the opportunity for Dwight Howard to really step up and shine, and that's a great idea. I mean, I'm sure that's the mentality that you want if you're a Laker fan, and if you're on that team, that's what you want to be thinking. But I don't see how that's possible. It's not as easy as turning it on and off. I'm not liking at all the way that this Laker team is looking if they find their way into the playoffs.
Yeah, it was going to be tough with Kobe there to do anything in the playoffs. You know, that was a team, if they got in, you didn't want to play them if you were the Spurs or possibly the Thunder or, you know, even the Clippers along those lines. But, you know, now with Kobe out, I'm going to have to agree with you. They could possibly open up with the Spurs if they get the 7th seed, if they win tonight. But, yeah, I don't see it happening. This team is just too far gone. And really hasn't shown up all throughout the season. Albeit I believe they're 25-12, in this last stretch of the season here. So they have been playing better, but no Kobe, no chance in my opinion.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think that I don't want to say that they're going to limp to the finish line here, but you know, when you lose, you look at the great players in the NBA. And there's a few people that jump out. whether it be LeBron or Durant or Melo. There's a couple of these guys that are just so exceptional, and obviously Kobe Bryant's on that list. If you flip-flop what has happened to Kobe with any of those teams, you take LeBron away from the Heat, you take Durant away from the Thunder, you take Carmelo away from the Knicks, while they may be okay, none of those teams without those superstars really have the chance or you know, have things in their favor to put together a long playoff run. And this Laker team is no different.
No. And going into the playoffs here, you know, we know 16 teams make the playoffs, but out of those 16, how many have a chance to actually win it? Two? Three?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the tough thing, and it's one of the reasons why I like the way I like more than anything, and I know this isn't practical in football, but when you have a playoff that consists of a few rounds of series, what usually ends up happening 9 times out of 10 is the better team wins. Can there be an upset on any given night? Of course there could be. But the odds of you putting together a stretch in the playoffs when it's at its the intensity is at its highest level to knock a team off altogether. No, I mean the cream seems to kind of rise at that point. And I don't think this NBA team or this NBA season is going to be any different.
So we'll have our predictions next week when we officially have the playoffs set. But I think South Beach is probably where we're going to see the championship at some point. Personally, I'm probably going to say there's going to be a rematch, but we'll see what happens over the next couple of, you know, weeks here.
So not to completely throw you off of the NBA path. We can go on and on about that. And I don't want to dive back into MLB predictions or looking at what the first 2 weeks are like. But because it's of absolute relevance where we're at right now in terms of this baseball season, what the heck was going through your head when you first started to read and first started to see what it is that had transpired out in that Los Angeles-San Diego game? I guess that was about a week ago now.
Well, personally, I thought it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life because I understand there's a history between Greinke and Quentin. You know, he's hit him how many times? And Matt Kemp got thrown out earlier in the game. I understand that. But the game is a one-run game in the sixth inning, first and second. And what was it, a 3-2 count or a 2-2 count?
Full count with two outs.
Full count with two outs. He gets hit on the elbow, which is hanging over the plate. And he has the nerve to charge the mound. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. And to think that he was throwing at him intentionally, you know, he should just be suspended for 50 games, in my opinion. I just thought it was the most ridiculous thing I ever saw in my life. He is not throwing at you on a 1-2 count in a one-run game with runners on first and second.
No, I mean, it's so outrageous. I heard Don Mattingly say after the game, and obviously he was fired up, and he had every right to be. But he made a great point when he said, obviously, what we have learned tonight is that Carlos Quinton does not understand baseball.
No, that's exactly right.
If you understand the game, you could put what happened into context. And I'll go one beyond that. You don't really have to understand baseball all that well. That if somebody explained to you the setting that took place in, it's very obvious that wasn't done intentionally. Obviously, the absolute worst possible thing happened in this instance, and that was that you know, the Dodgers, who are playing pretty well, end up losing Greinke for a little while.
Yeah,
and you know, you know as well as I do, Nick. I mean, who's to say? I hope this isn't the case, but who's to say? I know it was his non-throwing shoulder, but who's to say that he's able to come back and be, you know, the hundred and some million dollar man that they paid to come over there? The fight being what it is, let's take Greinke's injury out of it. And what are your thoughts on the way that baseball and hockey does this as well? If you and I, you know, walked out of a bar or out of a restaurant and decided to do that, well, we would be arrested,
right?
And we would be taken to jail. sports is it's completely different. In football and basketball, you might be in a little bit more trouble than baseball and hockey. But you know, what's your thought process when you see a fight break out in baseball, and then the way things are handled there afterwards?
You know, I mean, it's hard to say. What was the were they each suspended 8 games? Is that what it ended up being?
It was 8 games, and I saw at least for Quentin, he decided he's dropping the appeal. You know, let's move on.
I would hope he's dropping the appeal. I mean, how could you possibly think you could win that appeal? But you know, in my opinion, I think they should. I don't know, something along the performance enhancing drug issue where they have the most ridiculous rule where it's 50 games and 100 and 150. Personally, I think if you test positive twice, you should be banned forever. But that's another story. I think you could do something like that. You know, if you're involved in multiple fights in one season, you should be suspended for at least, you know, you could do something the first game. First time you're in a fight, you could say you're okay, 8 games, whatever. But after that, I mean, you could go up to 50 games. But, I mean, it's really hard to judge because how many guys were actually in that fight? I mean, you look at Matt Kemp, he was ready to rip somebody's face off. And he, you know, he's not going to get suspended for anything. But it's very tedious. It's really hard to judge. But, yeah, like you said, most people, you know, everyday Joes, you go to jail for something like that. But if you're on the playing field of whatever sport it may be, you know, you're going to get fined, which is basically like $10 to them, and you're going to miss a couple games. And for Zach Greinke, although if he wasn't injured, he'd be missing one start, not 8 games.
Yeah, no, it's you know, you could go on and on and on about the way Major League Baseball handles some of their rules. I think this week actually brought out another interesting one when Gallardo in Minnesota or in Milwaukee was suspended. Or I'm sorry, he got a DUI, correct? And he was not suspended. It is not against any major league rule that if you get a DUI that you're suspended. And I don't know what made me do this. It was just the last day or two that I started to give that some thought. And it's pretty remarkable when you think about it. I had heard an example at the beginning of the season. There was a minor league player in single or double A that in his testing for performance-enhancing drugs, he passed it. And it turned out that it was positive for marijuana, and he was suspended for X number of games for failing that drug test for marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
We could go on and on about if that should be allowed or not, and if that should be something that you can be suspended for. But if, in fact, that's the case, that you're able to be suspended for that, and you're not able to be suspended if you get a DUI, how is there logic to that?
There isn't. There isn't logic to that. I mean, the only thing I could think of is they're going to let the justice system handle it. But, I mean, you got to do something. I mean, you could just be – I mean, you look at the NFL, it's probably one of the things they get right. You know, you have any of those issues, they're very strict on it, which is how it should be. I mean, you realize the situation these guys are in. They're getting paid millions to play sports. You know, you got to be more – you got to grow up and really be a role model for some of these people and not get in those situations. So – yeah, there's a lot of little things you could look at like that. And I mean, it is a little ridiculous when you think about it.
Yeah, no, it's just unbelievable to think the way that the rules are set up. It's almost as if, and you and I, and probably anybody that would take the time to listen to this podcast, most of what you do, most of what we do over the course of the day revolves around checking in on scores, making sure our fantasy players are in. Everything revolves around sports to some extent. But it's almost as if it's a completely different world where certain rules that everybody else has to apply, abide by, don't necessarily take meaning to in those leagues. It's pretty interesting. And this week was just another example where I don't want to say that Major League Baseball said, hey, we don't care about DUIs, but
yeah, and I think we lost Sean there for a minute. We'll try to get him back on in a second. I think his mic may have went out there. But, yeah, I completely agree with you there, and we'll see what happens in the future. But we're pretty much at a half hour right now. We're going to probably call our first podcast right there, first inaugural podcast. We want to thank everybody for listening to Extra Innings. We're going to be posting all of our podcasts in the future, as we said, on our Facebook site at WAZL Extra Innings and on our Twitter page at WAZL Sports Radio. And we will be back on our 1490 WAZL in the near future every Monday and Friday. As for our next podcast, not sure when it's going to be. Keep your eyes posted. We're not going to have any set days for this or anything. It's just going to be a spur of the moment. Could be a half hour long, could be 3 hours long, however we're feeling that day. We'll just see how it goes from there. But we want to thank everybody for listening. We hope you enjoyed our inaugural podcast for Sean Barletta. I am Nick Patrone, and we'll be talking to you soon. Take it easy.